Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 37. How can ye believe? John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? There is an unmistakable tone of impossibility in the words of the Savior here. He says that the one who seeks acceptance and honor of men could never have true faith in God. Honor received from God precludes honor of men, and honor received from men makes impossible the honor of God. Jesus once used the term leaven to describe the philosophy of the scribes and Pharisees. When cautioning his disciples about this philosophy of hypocrisy, he said in Mark 8:15, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." What is the leaven of the Pharisees? What is the leaven of Herod? In Luke 12:1-4, he explains and defines this leaven. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." The Pharisees and Sadducees and Herod all had a common philosophy. The scriptures call it a doctrine. Note Matthew 16:6-12. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them. Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked.
The questions of Christ became a curiosity to me because of their depth and scope, but more so because of who asked them. Albeit some of the questions asked by Jesus Christ were rhetorical, that is, ask for effect, or ask more to provoke thought than to solicit an answer. Some questions Christ posed were asked merely because he wanted an answer. For some, it makes them uneasy to think that Jesus did not know the answer in advance. We've been taught that Jesus knew everything, as if he were some sort of mind reader or telepathic. The scriptures do not support this idea. It is therefore only conjecture. Poor conjecture, in my opinion. When the scriptures state, "Jesus knew their thoughts," as in Luke 6:8 and Matthew 12:25, they simply speak of perception. Jesus was infinitely wise and extraordinarily perceptive, and he knew mankind better than they knew themselves. As John states so perfectly, "But Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man." Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible's stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. I've been frustrated with books that assume that I, the reader, have the same literary background as the author. I want you to feel no such annoyance. There'll be no quotes from Greek poetry here, but you will find an abundance of scripture. May I assume that you have a familiarity with the gospel accounts of the life of Christ? If you doubt your level of familiarity and want to reread the Gospels, this devotional will make a good companion for such an endeavor. The context and background of each story will prove to be a rich source as well. What a wonderful journey writing this was for me. It was always a joy to discover a new question and explore it. When the end of the Gospels was drawing near, I felt a sadness as if I was losing a magnificent opportunity to visit with the Savior each morning. As I edited the work, going back through it and reading it as you will, I was pleased to find my experiences repeated and yet somehow were richer than before. I'm happy to share these devotionals with you. I would love to know that you receive them in the same richness of spirit that I did.
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
The Pharisees and Sadducees and Herod all had a common philosophy. The scriptures call it a doctrine. Note Matthew 16:6-12. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What was this common philosophy or doctrine that Jesus called leaven? First, we will look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus was always calling to their attention the fact that they cared what men thought of them. Luke 20:46-47, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seat in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Jesus was forever in violation of the Pharisees' man-made laws, and on occasion they went about to kill him. At several opportunities, they desired to take him, stone him, and even murder him. But they feared the people. Mark 11:32, "They feared the people." Mark 12:12, "But feared the people." Luke 20:19, "They feared the people." Luke 22:2, "They feared the people." Later in Acts 5:26, "They showed that they learned nothing when they sought to lay hands on the newly empowered disciples." Again, quote, "They feared the people, but all their works they do for to be seen of men." From our spiritual infancy, we have understood false pride and the problems associated with it. The fact that pride is repugnant is not peculiar to Christianity. Arrogance and hypocrisy are repulsive even to the common man who holds no faith in God at all. We understand this and avoid the blatant warning and examples we see in Scripture. But the doctrine goes deeper than mere pride of appearance. The doctrine is a philosophy that is deeper than looking our best to those around us or casting the best light on our works. Achieving the honor of men becomes the root of our decision-making, deceiving even the one who holds such philosophy, and worse yet, precludes the honor of God. To see this, let's look at Herod. Herod was steeped in this doctrine philosophy as well. Though Herod was not a religious man, he operated under the same philosophy as the religious leaders of his day. Actually, his philosophy was not a religious doctrine at all, but one common to all mankind. Even today, i.e. hypocrisy, or acting, if you will. Herod had built, in his own mind, a persona he wished others to see when they looked at him. The man in his mind was a powerful man of integrity who took orders from no one and did as he pleased, a king. Herod was intrigued with John the Baptist, and didn't hate him at all. He actually used to go and listen to him, whether in the wilderness or when he was in Herod's prison, we don't know, and showed signs of affection toward John when he was scheduled to be beheaded. And, quote, Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Mark 6:20. Why, then, did he kill him? The hatred that Herod's wife, Herodias, had for John caused her to conspire with her daughter to trick Herod into giving her John's head on a plate. Herod made an unconscionable, lust-driven promise to a tawdry, whorish girl during a party, and because he feared the people, John was killed. Matthew 14:9-10, and the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Acting and performing for people will get us nowhere. It makes us useless to the kingdom of God. We cannot hide our true self forever or pretend that we're better than we are. Neither should we want to. The very nature of grace, forgiveness, and salvation demands honesty with ourselves, with God, and with others. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. It will all come to light one day. There is no reason to pretend. Neither should we fear what men think of us or do to us. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We as believers have an obligation to be honest in everything we do and say. True faith is living in this state of purity and honesty. If we're constantly and continually concerned with our appearance to others, our status in life, and what the majority thinks, Christ gives us a slim chance of recovering ourselves by faith in God. You're constrained to earnestly seek acceptance in the eyes of God alone. Otherwise, your confidence is misplaced, and a life of faith is impossible. If you seek the favor of people, you'll not find yourself on a narrow path where few are found, but upon a broad road with many people, and a road with wide gates. Unfortunately, the scriptures describe those gates as the ones that lead these backslappers to their destruction. Away they all happily go, praising and promoting and congratulating each other. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? To follow your God in faith will separate you and in some cases isolate you and can cause your persecution. The Savior gives you little hope of salvation if you go the broad way of hypocrisy. This is why he asked, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.